especially to worship with you. Well, it's been about 3 weeks since I last preached. I hope I didn't forget how to. So we'll get right into it. If you have your Bibles, let's give God glory for his word. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. 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 And with those Bibles, if you would turn to Romans 1, beginning verse 9. We begin a new series today, and it'll lead us into Mother's Day, and I'm calling it the God Connection. It'll begin to unfold what this is more about and how it all fits together as we go through this together. Because the basic revelation is being connected to God personally, and then each one of us being interwoven with each other as we are connected to God. And I'll show you what I mean about that. Beginning verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift. This is what I want you to focus on. Impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. So here's the Apostle Paul writing to this church in Rome, dying to come to see them, but for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit and circumstances that were allowed by God have prevented him at this time to get there. But it wasn't the effort that caught my attention to this, of why he wanted to be there, or in the effort to get there, but why he wanted to be there. And this is what we're going to get into. But before we get into it, we have to realize from the very beginning, it says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel. And as I prayed about that, it brought me back to how Paul opened up the book of Romans. And this is what I want to focus in on today. What is he referring to? Serving in the spirit, serving with my spirit. Romans 1:1 says this, I, Paul, a bond servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. See, when you serve God with your spirit, there's certain things that kind of goes along with. When you say, I'm passionate about something, I'm doing this thing passionately with everything that I am, this means the world to me. What you're saying is, there's an innate, fundamental foundation, drive, passion, desire at the very core of who I am that makes me want to do this. It's no longer something that I do, but it becomes a part of who I am. It becomes part of my identity. I'm no longer Paul who is passionate about this. I am Paul, the one passionate about this. It becomes a part of who I am. My worship of the living God should not be something I do, but it's part of who I am. I can't breathe without worshiping. I can't breathe without being in the presence of God. It becomes part of me the fabric of who I am. You take that away from me, I might as well be dead. It becomes that ingrained in you. That's what that passion is all about. It's that connection with God where the line of connection becomes so blurred because your spirits have become one. Not blurred because you're confused, because His Spirit is living in me, and if I am in Him and He is in me, we are one in spirit. So there is no more a line needing to be drawn because the two have been united. Very similar to a husband and wife. The husband will leave his wife and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one. No longer two separate, but in spirit, in mind, in heart, in will, in life purpose, the two become one. It's not, well, this is my calling and this is her calling. Same thing with Paul. My serve with my spirit, with everything that I am, I serve the living God with. This is who I am. And he identifies that very clearly with Romans 1:1. Paul, a bond servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel. He's making a clear identity, who he is, what he does, and why. And so as I look at this, I looked at the word bondservant. What does that mean? And this is what we're going to talk about today. And next week, we're going to get into that verse 11 of Romans 1, about the imparting of the Spirit and the being established and being mutually encouraged. But today, as we look, bondservant. Do you know what a bondservant is? A lot of times, it's a slave. The word is used for a slave or a servant in general. But it's more than that. First thing that's interesting about a bondservant is that they are an employee who gets paid wages. They're not a slave that does the master's bidding without anything because they're being crushed under the authority of the master. A bondservant actually gets paid. A bondservant also chooses to be a bondservant. It's a willful, designed choice. Paul, I'm choosing to be under that, under Christ, and we'll get to that. A bondservant, a lot of times, may have skills. Might be a carpenter. Might be a great cook. Might be an awesome cleaner. Maybe a great ranch hand or farmer. But they, a lot of times, will have skills and specific responsibilities. And a bondservant, what makes them different from a slave, too, they're actually protected under Roman law, Greek and Roman law. So they actually had certain rights to when they choose to become a bond slave. So they would not be abused. They had their own like little union thing going. But here's the one catch. When you choose to be a bond servant to somebody, you're there for life. You're there. There is no turning back. You're there committed for the long haul. There is nothing, you know, about, well, I'll do it for a year and then I'll quit. Now, if the master on his own chooses to let you go, that's one thing. But you are committed for life. You're identified as this person's bondservant for life. People know you as this person's bondservant. That's your reputation. That's who you are. See, in Arabic, when you say, Mike so-and-so's father, what they say is, they don't say, you know, Mike, this is Stephen, Mike's son. They say, this is the father of Stephen. It's reversed. You're identified by who is under you. the father of so-and-so. That's how you're identified when you're talking about somebody. Or the mother of so-and-so. You don't call them by their first names a lot of times. Or when you're trying to say who you're talking about. It's the mother of this, or the father of him or her. Well, this goes along with it. This is the servant of, you know, this is so-and-so's slave or servant, bond servant. The two are connected. That's who you become identified with. So I want to look at the four points here a little more in-depthly. First is the fact that a bond servant chooses to put himself under the employment of the person who he's working for. It's a choice. He makes a commitment by his own will. No one forced him to it. And isn't that what Christ offers us? Isn't that what Christ offers us today? The choice to be under him. He made every way possible. God has made every way possible for us to choose to be under the leadership, the authority of God. And we choose it, or some don't. But he's given us grace. He's given us law. He's given us prophets. He gave us kings. He puts people in our lives. He gave us the Holy Spirit to bring us into conviction. But it's still my choice. I still make the choice to do this. And with the full understanding of what my choice entails. See, this is why it's so important to recognize that when I choose to accept Christ as my Savior, the old man is really dead. Because that old man identifies me to something that I used to be. I no longer become Mike. I become the bondservant of Jesus Christ. I'm now, my identity is in him, not in the independent person I used to be. My identity is wrapped into him. And if that is the case, by making that choice. And again, a bond servant is not a slave that's being crushed. It is a free person making a willful decision with rights. And within those rights, you carry on the authority of the master. You're employed. Anyone who's ever been a manager or supervisor or a head of a company, you know that your employees represent your company. They're meant to reflect and represent the ethics, the morals, the attitudes, the bylaws, the whatever of your company, whether they're in private or in public. You have the NFL, all these guys getting into trouble for personal conduct issues. Well, they're defaming the image of the company of the National Football League. So what are they doing? They're punishing them. Because as a professional football player employed by an NFL franchise, you represent the company. And you have all its privileges, but you also have to abide by all its rules. As a son or daughter of the living God, a child of God, saved by the grace and love of God, my identity is in that. I'm no longer my own person doing whatever I want, not caring. But now, I am living within the guidelines of the principles of grace, understanding right and wrong, knowing the boundaries that I am under in Christ Jesus. And thank God for the Holy Spirit, because I don't need to be given a job description. We have it in His Word, but we also have the Holy Spirit who prompts us right and wrong, who convicts, because as bondservants, we are open to that conviction. But it is a free choice. It is a free will. I put myself under him. Here's the second thing. By claiming bond servitude to Christ Jesus, it is understood that you are publicly declaring that you are a bondservant of Christ. As a bondservant, as I said, everyone knows whose you are. Whose you are and who you belong to. and what is expected of everyone else and of you because of those things. Everyone who reads this letter from Paul would come to a clear, without a doubt, understanding that there is no turning back for Paul. That he is a bondservant, he's there for life, it's a public declaration that it is sealed on my heart that I belong to him, I'm not going to another master, I don't serve anybody else. I've chosen, I'm sold out for the cause of Christ. There is no turning back for me. You know, Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who trusts in him." Well, Paul tasted and he saw that the Lord is good. And he chose to go back and dine every day at the Lord's table because he wants more of what the Lord has. As a bondservant, freely choosing to receive Christ as my Savior, receive the Holy Spirit in me, in the authority of the Master, I have tasted and I'm seeing, and every day I get taste more and I see and I love what I'm hearing and what I'm receiving and what God is doing. And many of you today felt something new and tasted something new for the first time, or more of what you've tasted before, and you want more. You're hungry for more of God. It is a choice he made, and he's declaring it publicly to the world. He's not ashamed. See, bondservants are not ashamed of whose they are. They're not afraid to stand up and say, "I belong to this person, to the household of so-and-so." They're bold about it, and he's made it public. Our faith, our hearts, are we ashamed of these things? How do we stand up and be bold about this and declare publicly, "I am a bondservant of Christ"? And see, this is the thing. And many of you will remember this. In the old days, which is, for me, maybe like 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you would play outside. You can be outside for hours. And guess what? Mom and Dad never worried. Why? Because most people in the neighborhood knew each other. And Mom and Dad had eyes in every household. And most households knew what your rules and regulations are based on what your parents want. You know, you'd hear, "Hey, Timmy, your mom wants you home at 10. Get back home. It's 10 o'clock. So you had eyes and ears wherever you went as a child. I grew up in Beirut in a community where my entire relative system lived around me. And if they weren't relatives, they were members of the same church. So I couldn't run and hide if my life depended on it. So I had eyes, and everyone knew when I'm supposed to be home, what time my family has dinner. So they knew the rules and regulations that I am supposed to abide by, those standards. They knew when I'm supposed to have ice cream and when I'm not allowed to have ice cream. A bondservant, that's a public declaration. By saying I'm a Christian, most of the world's going to have an idea of what Christianity's all about. And unfortunately, most of the world is going to look to make us look like hypocrites. At least, if not verbally, in their minds. They want doubt because the enemy is at it. But I believe everyone in their heart was created with that desire for things of God. But the world, about life, junk, has piled on top of it and has made many hearts cold. And guess what? As a bondservant, I get to show the world how good it is to be a bondservant of my master. How awesome it is. Is life perfect for me? No. But you know what? Like my wife was sharing earlier, whether it's stormy or peaceful, I'm stay the same. Joy of the Lord is my strength. His word is my foundation. His spirit is my guide. His love is always there no matter how much hate spewed. That never changes. And when we stick to that level, that standard, make it public, declare it in our lives, with our lives, not with our words necessarily, but with our lives, they will know the truth, and the Bible says the truth will set them free. They will be jealous unto God because they will want to serve the same one. So Paul is making it clear here. I've tasted, I've seen he's good, and I want more of him, and I'm clear, and you need the same. You need to come, just try, just taste and see how much. And we had a testimony from Nicole in prayer meeting. Is it all right if I share? You know, that how she received the Holy Spirit last week, and now she just become addicted to the Holy Spirit because she's tasted and seen. Same thing. Third point here, in declaring that he's a bondservant of Christ, there's a recognition of the importance of the work that he is doing and that being done under the employment of Jesus. He's not taking his job lightly. This is not a free pass. It's not a free meal, although the food's delicious. The benefits are awesome. But he's recognized how important it is. He knows how important each soul is to God, or else God the Father would not have sent his only begotten Son for him and for us to carry our sins on the cross and overcome them in his resurrection and then go out of his way to impart the Holy Spirit upon us. Think about it. If our faith was not that important, if serving Christ was not that important, why would God put up for the many years that he's been putting up with us? Seriously, why would he put up with me for 45 years? Why would he put up with humanity who sinned against him, walked away from fellowship with him? He sent them prophets and leaders, and they still decided to rebel. He gave them kings who were supposed to represent his authority. Not just did the people rebel, the kings rebelled. Now he sent his own son. Why is he putting so much work if it wasn't that important to God's heart? And then not only did he send his son, but his son took the time and put the effort in to impart his spirit on us, to be able to do what he did. And is constantly equipping, because it wasn't a one-time shot. I'm not who I was a year ago in my walk in the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. Man, God's changing me day by day. This week alone, I was telling my wife, you know, most of you know, I started praying fervently in tongues a couple of years ago that came on me, and Lord finally built that and grew that, and I've been learning how to stir myself that up in the Spirit. But this week was the first time God took me to a new level where now I started to truly sing in the Spirit or in tongues at home. I'd never done that before. So he's still working. If this wasn't so important, why is God still working on each one of us? So Paul recognized the importance of it. And how important is it? Heaven throws a party when somebody gets saved. Luke 15:7, I tell you the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. There's a party going on. And the Lord looks down and says, well done, when we're moving in His Spirit and doing things according to His way, His Word, in His Spirit, in His power. A bondservant is an extension of the Master's will for His household. They don't go beyond those boundaries. They've been given authority to carry on the Master's will, heart, desire for their household. Keep the house exactly the way the Master wants it. And God has put so much effort and made every way possible for us to do so in His kingdom. And it's so awesome to see the church coming together. This church coming together in this way. It's awesome to see. It's awesome. See, I'll share with you where this message came from before I get to my fourth point. Last week I was in Texas for 3 or 4 days. And while I was in Texas for those days, I knew going to Texas that yes, it's partly the vacation, but mostly it's going to be an outpouring. I'm there to minister into lives, to speak into lives, most of which is my family. Well, didn't take long. Got there late Tuesday night. Wednesday morning, we were in the store. I ran into my father-in-law. We ended up back at his house for a few minutes. Lord said, pray over him and his house right now. Prayed over his house. Went to my sister-in-law's house. Pray over them. Went to a restaurant. Pray over them. In the restaurant. Pray over someone I met there. Pray over the owner of the restaurant, so it happens to be my uncle-in-law. Prayed over him. Went to my brother-in-law's house. Prayed over 3 or 4 people. Went over my aunt's house. Before we left, I was called to pray over them. Everywhere I go, the Lord said, you are to be praying and speaking into people's lives. And it was awesome. It was so awesome. But then on the flight home, I'm just thinking and meditating on everything that happened. And the thought came to me, no one prayed over me. Nobody spoke into my life. When was the last time somebody truly spoke into my life? Now, I'm so thankful for this church because there are people who are praying for me constantly here. And many of you are, especially in our prayer groups and at home. Thank you, because you do it. But it made me think, I was around a lot of Christians in Texas. And even in the past times, I would go there. I never had somebody say, hey, let me pray over you while I was down there. And then Monday morning, I read this in Romans 1. Specifically what hit me is verse 11. For I long to see you that I may impart, speak into you, give you something. And again, we're going to get a lot more into it next week. Impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. Speak something into you that's going to establish you, get you stronger in the things of God, get you more grounded in the things of God. And this is where I started to think, wow, we need to build the body up. We need to build this body up even more. So it's being built. But we need to build the body of the kingdom of God, not just the body of Bayshore Christian Fellowship. So that wherever any one of us may go, the body of Christ will speak life and impart life and the spirit and presence of God onto one another and make a difference into the world. Remember our vision? To edify one another, to equip one another for the work of the kingdom. The body needs to speak into itself. And there's a reward to this. There's a reward, which is the fourth point. The bondservant receives a salary, receives their wages. They are paid. And for Paul, those wages are the joys of salvation to others, the infilling of the Holy Spirit to empower them to carry through the message of Jesus, his authority and his power in the Spirit, his gifts, blessings, fruit. Also, just simply knowing that eternity with Christ is there and they can sit at the right hand of God. But there's also the personal wages we receive in the things we do. I know most of us, if not all of us, when we do something, whether in our workplace or in our home or in a Christian walk, where we know what our efforts brought a blessing to something, an accomplishment to something, there is that internal wage paid of satisfaction of knowing we did it right. We did good. We blessed somebody. It becomes an intrinsic wage. We feel whole. We feel well about it. But you know what? I love making a difference in people's lives at my job, but I really like my paycheck too. That helps. And there is that paycheck. And this is not going to be on PowerPoint, so you may want to write these couple of verses down. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father and his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Every man according to his deeds will be given. Lord, I pray that my heart is always right with you, that whatever my repayment would come because of your kingdom was glorified, your kingdom was lifted up, that your household, the household of the kingdom of God, would be made to shine among the other households as a good bondservant would do. Because as a bondservant, I want my master's household to outdo every other household in the block. I want it to look better. I want the lawn to be better grazed and cut and manicured. I want the paint job to just sparkle. I want it to be clean. I want it to be pure. I want it to be inviting. I want it to be comfortable. I want it to be edifying and encouraging where people want to be there. That's the repayment. That's part of it. Ephesians 6:5-8 says, bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters. This is Ephesians 6:5-8. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling, with reverence and trembling for God, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, which now you know what that is, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord. What do I always say? If the Bible repeats itself, you know it's important. He's trying to shake something. If you miss it the first time, here it is. And not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, listen, he will receive the same from the Lord. When you honor your master honors you. When you lift me up before the world, I will lift you up before my Father. That's what the Word of God says. Honor your master, and he will honor you. Then Revelation 22:12 says this, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. To give to everyone according to his work. There is a blessing coming. There is a blessing in being a bondservant. So not only do we get the luxury of tasting and seeing that God is good, of working for our master, serving our master, and the freedom in that, because it's a willful choice, but I am not bound in chains, but I chain my heart to his. His will becomes what I want for my life. I have his heart. Remember what I said about that line becomes blurred because the spirits become one. What Lord wills is what I will for me and for those around me. I become so tuned in that I begin in a way to take pride in making sure my master's household is the best it could be. Because it's now my household too. It's where I live. It's where I breathe. It's where I eat. It's where I work. It's where I serve. It's where I laugh. It's where I cry. It's where I minister. It's where I get ministered to. It becomes a part of who I am. I am 100% for the rest of my life identified with my master's household. No longer separate. I live, breathe, and do everything there. And my reward is there. This is what Paul recognized. And we'll see more next week how it all fits in to imparting, establishing, and being mutually beneficial. But being a bondservant is a powerful recognition of who we are, our identity in Christ. And it has to begin there. This is why Paul begins the book of Romans with that very first few words. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Those first five words or six words is how he starts it. And this book, book of Romans, if anyone's read it, you know how meaty it is. You don't read this book like a novel, because this is considered maybe the greatest doctrine, section of doctrine in the whole scripture as a whole. And he establishes the foundation of this book by declaring who he is in writing this, in his understanding of this, of these things, and these principles that he's writing about. And he wants us to know these things. So today, I stand before you as Mike, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I'm publicly declaring it, that I'm there for life. I'm declaring that I have chosen this. There is no turning back. I'm declaring that I recognize the importance of being his bondservant and what that means. And I'm declaring that I know my wages are being paid every day. The wages of my sin have already been paid. So that's already taken care of. But now I got my salary coming. My blessing, my benefits, and salary. Will we do the same today? Will we declare, make that declaration today? I, whoever you are, am a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and I declare that this is who I identify with. I will be with. I will walk in. I will do. I want to just take a few moments. Just get with the Holy Spirit. Let him speak into you about these things. And I want to encourage you right now, too, that to start praying as you let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Because God, as a bondservant working with other bondservants, you are ministering to one another. You're carrying the load together. After we get into time of just listening to the Holy Spirit, I'm going to release you as we get back into a little bit of worship to get up and pray for one another and minister to one another as the Holy Spirit leads you. You might be called this morning to get up and sit next to somebody, put your arm around someone and pray with them, or maybe just sing with them or laugh with them, but edify them. Edify one another. You are fellow bondservants in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come right now. Just minister. Minister to each heart, Lord. Minister right now. Minister right now, Lord. Minister right now. Minister right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Before I dismiss you to do that, I feel like the Holy Spirit has spoken to someone who has a word for all of us today. So you're free to share that. Do not be afraid to share it if God has given it to you. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come right now. Stir within us. Stir within us. Holy Spirit, stir within us. Yes, Lord. And ask the worship team to come on back up. And if you can unmute the instruments, and the rest of you, just get into that place of worship. and you are free to get up, and as you're worshiping, edify one another, minister to one another, speak words of life into the lives of one another. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.